W252 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Authorities still searching for a solid motive for the gunman who killed 10 people at a Los Angeles area ballroom dance club during a Lunar New Year celebration. The suspect, 72-year-old Hu Can Tran, found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound on Sunday in a van that police say he used to flee after he was disarmed at a second dance club. ABC's Alex Stone is outside the club with more.
The shooting has rocked this town just east of L.A. David Duvall is a local dance instructor. He spoke to one of his students who was inside the ballroom where the shooter was firing.
She was there. She hid under the table. The police came. They took everybody to the police station.
The image ingrained in her mind of a figure walking in and shooting.
She didn't dare look at his face. She was just scared. Scared to death.
Lunar New Year festivities in this town are now canceled.
This is the fifth mass shooting since the start of the new year. This is ABC News. A bit of a gloomy outlook from business leaders across the country.
A growing number of business leaders believe we're heading into a recession.
Just over half of them think the probability of a recession is greater than 50%.
Ken Simonson with the National Association for Business Economics says that was the big takeaway from its latest business conditions survey. As for hiring?
For the first time since the pandemic, more firms expect to reduce their headcount than to add employees in the next 3 months.
For now, respondents say sales are increasing at their respective companies, but they expect that to slow too. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
And in the final game of this weekend's round of the NFL playoffs,
touchdown! San Francisco!
The 49ers' Christian McCaffrey scoring on the 49ers radio network. San Francisco beating the Cowboys to advance to the NFC Championship game against Philadelphia. Justin Finch, ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The man who killed a college student in Madison more than 14 years ago is going to prison for the rest of his life. David Call was sentenced on Friday for the murder of Brittany Zimmerman in 2008. He confessed to killing her last fall after evading charges for several years. Her family in Marshfield tells Channel 7 in Wausau she'd be proud they never gave up. Six trucks are out of the water after falling through the ice on Lake Pepin in western Wisconsin over the weekend. The sheriff in Goodhue County, Minnesota, says the trucks were on the ice because there wasn't any place to park on the shore. Nobody got hurt. Wardens are reminding fishers that the ice this winter is often not as safe as it looks. In sports, the Bucks are at Detroit tonight. The Badgers travel to Northwestern. You're listening to Civic Media, Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquesan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system?
Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michaels trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michaels Corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789 is 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Monday's with Sandy Williams. And let's go to the phone lines and Dave from Mequon. Hey, Dave, what's going on, man? How you doing?
All right, Earl. Good morning to you and Sandy. Really quickly, and I'm just going to ask you both a question really quickly. What do you think of the word field work? Does that sound racist to you? The reason why I'm asking, there's going to be, I'm going to make a comment.
Just
field worker.
No.
Field work or field work or worker.
No, I would, okay. as a black person, no, I don't think that there's any correlation between field worker and being black.
Okay,
I suspect that it goes back to a time in history in the South where field workers were the black slaves who were picking cotton. So, you know, I don't know the context in which that whole thing is used.
But as a black person today, there is no correlation in
right.
thinking
yeah, yeah.
about like that.
Right.
But so anyway, you can easily verify this, Sandy. So the Michigan Department of Health and the social the School of Social Work at University of Southern California claimed the term was anti-black because it could remind people of slavery.
And so
that word was banned. I don't know if you're aware of that. What happened was the University of Illinois last year decided obesity was racist.
Racist?
Yes. You can look that up. I want you to write this down.
Because let me just go on record before we go very far down this path. I think restriction of speech and the restriction of the expression of ideas is abhorrent, regardless of which direction it comes from. And I think that it was ill-conceived, and I do think that the process of restricting the political correctness process has become excessive, and I think it's one of the reasons for the rights movement and the whole woke movement is really a reaction probably to excessiveness of political correctness and the way in which political correctness might be imposed. I mean, we have both sociological kinds of social restrictions that are imposed on us on speech, and we have government restrictions. And I'm somewhat troubled by the social restrictions because I think they become very pervasive. For instance, the Colin Kaepernick action of the NFL was not imposed by government. It was imposed by a business, the NFL, and it was probably triggered for the NFL by the reaction of an audience to the NFL, so it became a business decision. But that was exceedingly troublesome. But it doesn't get all the way to the point of being a First Amendment restriction. It just is offensive. But I think when government starts restricting speech and restricting the expression of ideas, we do get two First Amendment problems.
Well, this is where I was going to take the conversation. But a lot of universities, Stanford University, you can't use the word American. Instead, you have to use the word U.S. citizen. University of Illinois, Chicago, obesity. You had to say now people with larger bodies.
Well, now wait, just Dave, just to, before we say all this stuff as if it's cast in law, I'm confident that all you could be speaking of at most would be a memo that was distributed to a number of employees at some place, and not anything that was enacted from a regulatory standpoint or imposed by law. So,
it's not imposed by law. You're correct about that. However, the idea behind it is to make people to say, okay, you know what? You're going to have to reword this, and we're going to have to use different terminologies because this is now considered, too controversial. And they just had, even in Great Britain, just over the weekend, you can't use the word mummies. You have to say mummified person or the name of the person.
Now, I think, Dave, we're talking I think we're talking about style, and I do think that what you're referring to is undoubtedly a compilation that's been put together by someone who's horrified by the extent to which political correctness has spread. And maybe to some extent, there's no question that political correctness probably has run amok, but it's really a reaction to style and to civilities, and it's not being imposed by law. The difference between what you're talking about and legislation being passed by the state legislature of Florida to restrict curriculum and what can be taught to students is quite a different story. And so I am troubled by what you're talking about. I think the idea of restricting discourse in any sort of significant way is silly and is inappropriate and is dangerous. And sometimes it's just silly, and sometimes it's just inappropriate, and sometimes it's dangerous. And most of what you're describing is inappropriate. I'm not sure it rises to the level of danger, particularly because most of it comes from employer to employee memoranda that are to describe styles that are to be utilized in the business place. And that has been going on for quite a long time, quite frankly.
Well, just keep in mind, just a couple weeks ago, I think it was Hamlin up in Minnesota. The professor was fired because she showed a picture that offended a person of Muslim background. And so they immediately fired her on the spot. But the professor had warned that, I'm going to be showing this picture, she kind of gave a forewarning, and they still fired her. And so the thing is, there was a lot of outrage with that because you're correct. It's not in law, but people are actually now losing jobs because of terms that they're using. If you remember the professor at Marquette University that was fired?
But David, in what Sandy and I are talking about, there's certainly other instances of it, but this whole wokeism movement and the people who are pushing it
I'll say this, Earl. I will jump in to some extent to defend, in that I do think the extent to which political correctness jumped the shark is what's given rise to the woke movement and has allowed people to get up in arms about it. And so I think there's two sides to this, but I think the problem is the reaction to it is worse than the disease. It's like the treatment is worse than the disorder. And so I'm troubled by that because most of what we're talking about, in fact, all of what we're talking about really in terms of the political correctness is stuff that's being imposed either socially or in a private sort of a setting. And the restrictions upon it are being imposed by the government. And so we end up with a toxic medicine. And so I think what we have to do is come to grips with this socially and try and get our arms around just how it is that we can deal with discourse in the public place as well as in the private place.
Dave, I give you the last response to it.
I agree with Sandy on what he's saying. I guess, like I said, the problem is that, you know, people are now losing jobs based on what they're saying. And it could be, you know, for the simple, like in real estate now, you can't say the word master bedroom. You have to say primary bedroom. And you can't have pictures of people anymore because it may offend, you know, some potential owner.
Dave.
And it's not written in the law, but the thing is, overkill with that.
Well, that's the real thing.
You can't say plantation shutters. Yeah. You can't use that word in the real estate now anymore.
Thank you very much for the call.
This is a good, I think what Dave raises is a good point, because the disease that people are upset about, much of it with this woke movement, the anti-woke movement, is political correctness. And some of what Dave just got into at the last part of his call there is restrictions that are being suggested by realtors to the people who are selling houses, which are suggesting that they have to be careful with the terms they use, like, you know, they can't use master suite, they have to use primary bedroom. Well, I'm not sure that they are suggesting that master suite is wrong because of the word master in there and slaves, but some other style, who knows? The English language and languages do evolve based on style, based on social style, social norms, and we can possibly expect that that our references in our language will get changed in that regard. But what we have to be careful about is that the medicine that we try to apply, if we are offended by political correctness, does not reach into the government arsenal of restricted speech.
So there clearly, historically in this nation, there are some horrific language. There's horrific language that has been used in this country's history to depict people of color, to depict gay people and others. There have been some horrific language that has been used historically in this nation. And so, yes, people got to a point where they said, this is harmful to others. And that language was then kind of taken out of acceptable company.
Well, incidentally, though, like even the, you know, one of the most offensive words we have, the N-word, is not unlawful unless it is applied in a context in which it could be
hurtful.
Well, hurtful. So I'm just saying that we can change our language based on social norms and social views, and that's what's going to happen. What we have to be careful about is not taking the government's arsenal of weapons to impose restrictions on it that is a slippery slope.
So
I'm just saying that we have not even used the government arsenal at this point to say that the N-word can't be used. We've only disallowed its use when it could be used in a context of being hate speech in the context of committing another crime.
Part of why that the N-word was kind of frowned upon was because the people who they were using it against got to the point where they weren't taking it anymore. They were not accepting it, and it created unsafe environments. That's part of the reason why it was taken away. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has 3 openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 30. Southwesterly winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for snow showers. Lows dip down to about 23. Cloudy again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 31. About an inch of snow Wednesday through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 19.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. I want to do this again. Where are we at? Okay. We're excited about the new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, and we're doing something big to celebrate. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Save the date, Thursday, January 26th. You'll be able to fill out an application for a piece of our giveaway and your chance to work with Civic Media sales team to create a radio advertising campaign promoting your business across our network for free. Understand, it's an opportunity to get free advertising for your business. From $5,000 to as much as $20,000, free advertising on Civic Media Network. The $1 million advertising giveaway starts at 9 a.m. only on Thursday, January 26th. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and be part of the conversation happening there. Some rules apply. For details on our website, civicmedia.us/million. And be sure to let everyone know you heard about the $1 million advertising giveaway on the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy, I wanted to ask you about lobbyists and really what's going on. You know, we know, and its role and its place in our government, and it's important that we understand those things because, you know, it's one thing for us to get out and do our civic duty by voting in elections. And then for those of us who aren't as astute as you and others about how our government works, we think that we voted for our elected official on any level. And those people came to us and said, hey, vote for me, and I'm going to do all these things for you, right? That's the way this is set up. That's the way the system is set up. And so that's what we're taught for the most part. And so we go out and we do our due diligence and we vote. And then we expect something to happen for us, the average everyday citizen. We expect to get our needs fulfilled in a representative government because we ourselves can't, we have no power other than to vote to get what we need as American citizens to make sure that our lives are better. But then you hear about
people called lobbyists. And I was going through the definition of what a lobbyist is. In simplest terms, lobbyists are professional advocates that work to influence political decisions on behalf of individuals and organizations. This advocacy could lead to the proposal of new legislation or the amendment of existing laws and regulations. What does a lobbyist do? Professional lobbyists are people whose business is trying to influence legislation, regulation, or other government decisions, actions, or policies on behalf of a group or individual who hires them. Individuals and nonprofit organizations can also lobby as an act of volunteering or as a small part of their normal jobs. So I'm listening to that, and I'm an everyday voter.
Well, and I think you said you chased down this issue because you saw that lobbyists this last year reaped record in earnings
for the people who hired them.
Yeah, that the lobbyists themselves made the
for
most
the companies
for the companies they work for. So essentially, they got paid a record amount.
Before I let you, the other thing that I said about it and what made me want to delve deeper into it was this at a time when inflation and other things are impacting and affecting the American people, the cost of things going up. And man, when I go to the store and I pick up something to purchase and I see it's half the size of what it was a year ago, and yet the price has increased on it tremendously. So things have changed, but they haven't changed to benefit the voter.
Well, it's a little bit here. In the finance industry, volatility in the marketplace, particularly in the marketplace for commodities, makes a lot of money for the people who are traders, the people in the financial world who trade, buy and sell oranges and coal and gas and oil and all those things. When they're going up and down in price a lot, when there's pressure in that market sector, they make money. Well, the same is true with lobbyists. When there's pressure building with respect to issues out there in the marketplace that people might care about, or when there are things happening in the world that could be affecting private interests, when the Ukraine war is going on and the munitions and defense industry could be strongly affected, when the green industry is going to be affected potentially, so that electric cars will get credits when people purchase them. All of these things have big financial potential values to segments of the marketplace, and those segments want to be represented before Congress so that they can optimize their situation. And lobbyists operate in the dark. I have some intimate knowledge about how lobbyists operate. And a big part of what they do is to organize their own clients.
Hold the thought. I didn't see the time. 844-967-2789 is the numbers. It's Monday. It means Mondays with Sandy Williams. You can join us. Be right back. I want to kiss the ground she walks on. Ain't no woman like the one I've got. Ain't no woman like the one I've got. Like pages in a letter. Ain't no woman like the one I've got. I'm a lonely man when she's gone. Ain't no woman like the one I've got. You know I need her every day.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Authorities still searching for a solid motive for the gunman who killed 10 people at a Los Angeles area ballroom dance club during a Lunar New Year celebration. The suspect, 72-year-old
Hu Can Tran found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound on Sunday in a van that police say he used to flee after he was disarmed at a second dance club. ABC's Alex Stone is outside the club with more.
The shooting has rocked this town just east of L.A. David Duvall is a local dance instructor. He spoke to one of his students who was inside the ballroom where the shooter was firing.
She was there. She hid under the table. The police came. They took everybody to the police station.
The image ingrained in her mind of a figure walking in and shooting.
She didn't dare look at his face. She was just scared to death.
Lunar New Year festivities in this town are now canceled.
This is the fifth mass shooting since the start of the new year. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The man who killed a college student in Madison more than 14 years ago is going to prison for the rest of his life. David Call was sentenced on Friday for the murder of Brittany Zimmerman in 2008. He confessed to killing her last fall after evading charges for several years. Her family in Marshfield tells Channel 7 in Wausau she'd be proud they never gave up. Six trucks are out of the water after falling through the ice on Lake Pepin in western Wisconsin over the weekend. The sheriff in Goodhue County, Minnesota, says the trucks were on the ice because there wasn't any place to park on the shore. Nobody got hurt. Wardens are reminding fishers that the ice this winter is often not as safe as it looks. In sports, the Bucks are at Detroit tonight. The Badgers travel to Northwestern. You're listening to Civic Media, Fox Valley.
What are the governor's priorities for Wisconsin? Tony Evers will lay out his second-term plans during his State of the State address January 24th. You can hear it live on your local Civic Media radio station. Will abortion rights, Medicaid expansion, and legalizing marijuana be the top issues? Your favorite hosts also provide insight by breaking down the governor's address. The State of the State address live Tuesday, January 24th at 7 p.m. here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll
be woke
in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I wouldn't want anybody better to have this conversation with than you. And for our listening audience, you really should pay attention to this conversation, because Sandy and I have talked about a lot of things over the years, but I don't know of one subject that I think I need to know more about than the one we're having right now with lobbyists, the impact that they have on your and my life, and you know, and whether or not what they are doing, even though it may be legal, whether or not it's moral or not. But Sandy, let's talk about the lobbyists.
Well, yeah,
their role.
Yeah. What I was trying to do is explain essentially what lobbyists. You read a definition of what they do. I was going to try and describe how they do it. And, you know, lobbyists represent, and primarily the ones that are successful, that are reaping all this money, represent associations of businesses. So they'll represent the Automobile Manufacturers of America, or they'll represent the speed warning manufacturers of America, you know, people who make the things, radar
right.
systems for your car, because they're going to get restricted possibly. You better get those people together. And so how do lobbyists work? Well, what they do is they try to identify private interests in America, especially interests in America that might be interested, agitated by laws that exist, laws that might be considered, regulations that might be under consideration, all of the various kinds of government conduct that could have an impact on them, either positive or negative. And then they'll go out, and if there isn't a trade association that's already linking those segments of the marketplace together, the lobbyists will play an active role in patching them together. They'll go and visit 15 of the speed warning manufacturers in America and say, look, you know, you guys need to get together. You know, there's 15 of you, and you need to patch yourselves together as a political trade association to represent the interests of speed warning manufacturers, because some states are going to try and restrict what you're doing. The federal government might restrict what you're doing. You want to make sure those restrictions are things you can tolerate, or maybe they don't get imposed at all, et cetera, et cetera. And you can just take that example and multiply it times 2,000, because there's all kinds of interest in the, and so many times these trade associations are actually organized by and then administered by lobbying organizations. And one of the main things that comes out of the situation in which a lobbyist successfully organizes a trade association is he/she has created their own client. So it's like client creation. It's a dream come true. You know, it's like
You're your own boss.
Frankenstein's monster. You can build it yourself. And now you've got a client. They're going to pay you to do what you want. It's sort of an implementation, however, of a primary American democratic right, to be represented before the legislature and to have your interests represented. The problem with lobbying, as far as the public interest is concerned, is that legislation in the United States, much of it is enacted in the dark. So the federal budget bill, the federal defense budget, all these things are thousands of pages long with many, many intricate provisions in it, many of which are fashioned in response to the action and conduct of lobbyists, because the lobbyists understand those bills and they go in there and they get them inserted. They get special legislation inserted in all kinds of bills, and all kinds of things get passed under the radar in response to what lobbyists want. And the reason they get passed is that one of the things that lobbyists achieve when they put together this trade association is a PAC, a political action committee, which raises money from the group that is the client, and then that money can get funneled to legislators. The legislators all understand who the lobbyist is that's got who's organized this group, and they understand, incidentally, who it is that's interested in what the interests are from the money that gets donated to them. When the lobbyist shows up at the door, they listen to them, they react to them, and they have access that you and I probably wouldn't have to that same legislator. And so, you know, Tom is right that this is one of the manifestations of Citizens United, because these lobbyists now have unbridled capacity to put together PACs for their clients, and these PACs have unlimited access to contributions through the status as corporations, in which corporations are viewed as citizens and entitled to essentially unlimited financial conduct in the political marketplace. And so I don't believe whatever we think about whether these private interest groups are doing something that's morally right for you and me, the American people, they're doing something that reflects the interests of their constituents. So I wouldn't believe in restricting that conduct because I think that would be a Big Brother restriction. But what I do think we ought to face up to is that since Citizens United, this dark hallway of conduct is getting out of hand and is causing politicians to be way too reactive to special interests.
So the Big Brother restriction to the folk with the money is the issue, because it's not a Big Brother restriction to the average everyday citizen. The average everyday citizen is impacted by these decisions that are being made. When I vote for a guy and I send them to the state, you know, to the city, or even to the United States government, I don't expect that person then to sit down in the dark, Democrat or Republican, and be convinced by somebody else who's being paid by somebody that I don't even know to help them craft legislation that impacts and affects me and my family.
Well, lobbyists do operate pursuant to some restrictions, and their contacts with legislators become public. They have to report on their contacts. But the point is that sitting in the room talking to the legislature is the least of what they do, okay? What they do is in organizing these PACs and funneling money into campaigns is the most of what they do. And that's where they derive all their influence. And that's the impact of Citizens United. But with respect to whether Big Brother is a problem, if Big Brother is constraining the activities of big business or Tom, Dick, and Mary, I think Big Brother is Big Brother, and it's a slippery slope to say it's okay over there but not over here. I do think we have to avoid restricting political conduct. But on the other hand, I think the actions of money in politics, and particularly the activity of money in politics that is not derived from Tom, Dick, and Mary individuals, is a very fruitful subject for regulation and isn't Big Brother. And incidentally, it's what we used to have in the 70s. And the history of America involved a great deal of regulation of non-individual political conduct.
Prime example, Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Big Pharma is a prime example of what I'm talking about. So we know that the medications that we purchase are cheaper overseas. Even medications that are made in this country are sold cheaper overseas than they are to the American people. And even though they are medications that come in from overseas at cheaper prices are inflated when it comes to the American people. So lobbyists control that.
Money controls that.
Yeah, and money controls lobbyists.
Yeah, money.
So my point is the American people get the short end of that stick. And so even though that this system that's already in place that appears to be, you know, if you don't know, fine, but it's not sanitized, because people who, a prime example was the insulin. The fact that insulin was able to the prices people's lives.
Absolutely. And let me just go quickly to a disease. So the disease here is not the existence of lobbyists. It's the tool that lobbyists have been given by Citizens United. Citizens United has created a pathway for lobbyists to organize groups, raise unlimited money from corporations, and to use that unlimited money in politics. And so, to the extent, I think our political process has pancreatic cancer. And happily, in the real world, I think there are solutions developing for pancreatic cancer. But we have always used pancreatic cancer as the example of the silent killer.
Right.
It's gonna kill you, and you don't know you have it for a long time. And that's what's wrong with what Citizens United has done to our political process. It's given our political process pancreatic cancer. We are getting overwhelmed by money in politics that's happening in the dark. That yes, it's lobbyists who are implementing this tool, but what we need to do is take the tool away from lobbyists. We can't get in and regulate lobbyists directly, but what we can definitely do is regulate the use of money in politics and particularly money in politics by people that are not human beings, okay? And the unbelievable fallacy of Citizens United was when the Supreme Court decided that a corporation was entitled to all of the same rights in the Bill of Rights, apparently, as a human being. And they went right from there to the notion that there should be unlimited capacity for a corporation or a business to funnel money into politics at an unlimited level. And now, Katie, bar the door. We've got a serious problem, and I would accuse us of having a political pancreatic cancer that we need to solve.
So here's a prime example. A proposal by Moderna to hike COVID vaccine costs to as much as $130 a dose.
Yeah.
It's what corporate greed looks like. So while we were watching COVID devastate people in this country and the world and people dying, and we know the impact of all of that, now Moderna, a company, sees that, listen, there's an opportunity for us to really make some money.
Well, you know, we don't even know what Moderna was getting from the government
before,
during the COVID period, because the government was paying them directly or subsidizing the payments for the shots. So who knows? I mean, maybe they were getting $130 a shot. The point is that all was affected by K Street, by lobbying, and by money in politics. And where you can find it most clearly is this prohibition on Medicare being able to negotiate the price of prescriptive drugs, and that was forced down the throat of the Affordable Care Act in order to get the Affordable Care Act passed. That was one of the compromises that needed to be made, and clearly that was a compromise on behalf of Big Pharma.
See, Sandy, that's the part of it that I can't get beyond, the fact that that's not beneficial to the American people.
It absolutely
is. And all the other things that you've said and all the other things, that can't possibly help the American people.
I know. And the question is, what do we do about it? And what's the answer? And I just don't want the cure to be worse than the disease.
Yeah.
And the cure for that is to get back to proper and substantial limitations on money in politics, so that politicians no longer get ruled by those who have the most money.
And so we start with having conversations like these to get people that to understand how this thing is working, how it has impacted your and my life and our families, and how it's going to continue to do that until we take the time out or have more conversations like this publicly, for people to understand that, yeah, we can overturn this, but everybody has to understand it's not Democrat or Republican.
I mean,
it's not that.
Yeah, I mean, there's two medicines for this: restricting money in politics and shining a brighter light on what our politicians are doing and where they're getting their money from, which would involve more disclosures. And disclosures haven't gotten brighter, they've gotten darker over the last 15 years in terms of where the money comes from, because dark money doesn't carry a source.
Tom, I see you. We'll come to you after we return. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Turn this page, help me change to right my wrong.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marcus Ann and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Markazan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 30. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance for snow showers tonight. Lows level off around 23. Cloudy. Overcast again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 31. About an inch of snow Wednesday through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 19.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
WAUKradio.com.
At 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, this is, as I said before we even got into the discussion, and I know that the way this system works is pretty complex. You always say it's complicated. It is complicated, and that doesn't mean that we shouldn't know as a society, and so that's why we're going to continue to have the conversation, because at the end of all of this, Sandy, is an understanding of how our government works. You know, if voting, we can't get people out to vote. You hear people say they just won't come out and vote. They won't come out and vote. And then there are some people who say, well, I'm not voting because, number one, I don't believe in our government. I don't believe in how our government works. And there's some people who are cynical enough to understand the conversation that we're having right now. And one of them is on the phone right now, but go ahead.
Okay, well, I was just going to say that the problem here is, you know, you were talking about Big Pharma. And we want to direct our assault. When we see a problem like that, we want to direct it directly at Big Pharma and say, okay, now there need to be restrictions on Big Pharma. And I think that the problem is that we're misdiagnosing the problem. The problem is, and the disease is, this the money, the path of money, and how important it is in politics today, and how unrestricted it has become, and how little we're doing in the way of enacting legislation to, one, restrict money, and two, to shine a bright light on how the money is flowing to politicians, from whom and for whom. Big Pharma has a lot of sway, and you were talking about off the air about insulin and what a travesty that is. And the problem is that things that have the potential to generate money for manufacturers then result in them devoting their attention and money to advertising it. So, you know, we were talking about, well, what creates this huge market for insulin? Well, part of it is the food habits in America, which are creating obesity, which is creating insulin. It's like almost like the food industry is in cahoots with the insulin industry to make sure they can deliver a lot of people up. And they aren't in cahoots. It's just that the food industry makes money out of processed food. Like I said off the air, you don't see advertisements for lettuce or tomatoes or carrots. You know, those things are not processed. There isn't a lot of value added to it. It goes from farmer to shelf pretty directly. The stuff that is value added is the stuff that gets processed, put into cans or frozen or into packaging, and then gets sold because it's been processed. There's a profit to be had, a value add supposedly out of that process. That gets advertised. That gets lobbied. That stuff isn't good for you necessarily. And similarly with fast food places, fast foods. Are these middlemen that advertise what they do and deliver it, and we end up getting 32-ounce Coca-Colas and things that are very bad for the population? Should we restrict 32-ounce Coca-Colas, or should we do something else? And the problem is that we don't have a private interest that's interested in pursuing wellness, because there's currently not much money in wellness, and money is what drives things. We have to get money out of the equation, and Tom, who's, I guess, on the line, is going to want to talk about this, I'm sure. Getting money out of politics is very fundamental, because it is pancreatic cancer.
You know, all I can say is people don't know what they don't know. And so people can't possibly be expected to understand what the processed food and what's in it and what it does to you. And unless, you know, you focus on that, people are busy and concerned with trying to make it every day, and they don't expect to be poisoned by processed food, because processed food is out there. It's legal. And it's one thing to say, what's the drug? Fentanyl. Fentanyl is illegal. We know it is. We know what it's going to do in the end. It's going to kill people.
Well, fentanyl.
Processed food, we do know.
Yeah.
Long term, it's not good for your body, for your organs, for your system. And long term, clearly processed foods are going to cause cancer and shorten your life. It's like cigarettes. We know that's what's going to happen, but cigarettes have it on the package now. They were forced to put it on the package, what it will do. They don't put that on the package of processed foods. Processed foods is legal. So that's the thing that I'm talking about, Sandy, where...
Well, I'm not talking... See, it's not that it should be illegal. I'm not sure the processed food...
No, I'm just saying that people should know.
Yeah, and you know, there's something like California actually has gone a long ways towards labeling to try and get people to understand what could happen to them as a result of what they buy and what they consume. Yeah. But my point is that if money were not so fundamental to our system, then we would have more people advocating wellness, and wellness would be essentially awakening. Oh, God, it might make them woke. Awakening people to maybe better forms of eating that could have a substantially beneficial effect on wellness, and incidentally, substantially reduce our national health care costs.
Well, you know, Sandy, some you look on, you find out, for heaven's sakes, baby food. In baby food, there's carcinogens in baby food. Who would have ever thought that's legal, and that they put things in baby food that's not good for human beings? And so people trust that. They think that it's out there, and that our government somehow is going to be not a part of allowing that to be sold that impacts and affects their babies. Look on the labeling of baby food.
I just think we all ought to make we don't want to make the same mistake as the people who are attacking woke by passing legislation. The government isn't the answer to everything. But the government could be an answer in terms of at least adequately regulating money and politics, so that we could end up having a process that is less informed by pure money and is more informed by other interests.
So, Sandy, who do we blame then when – because somebody should be blamed when we know in baby food they put some things in there that aren't good for babies and human consumption. Who as a citizen – yeah. Who do we blame? Somebody should be blamed for that. Somebody should pay a price for that.
Well, we've got an FDA, and if it's really unhealthy, then the FDA should be taking steps to keep it off the market. That's its regulatory job.
Yeah.
Maybe it's being impacted by money. Who knows?
Yeah. 844-967-2789. Tom on the other side. We'll be right back.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.